The armies of Cyrus and Artaxerxes met on the plains of Canaxa, not far from Babylon. Early in the battle, Cyrus was killed, putting a quick end to the war. Now the Greeks' position was suddenly precarious. Having fought on the wrong side of a civil war, they were far from home and surrounded by hostile Persians. They were soon told, however, that Artaxerxes had no quarrel with them. His only desire was that they leave Persia as quickly as possible. He even sent them an envoy, the Persian commander Tissaphernes, to provision them and escort them back to Greece. And so, guided by Tissaphernes and the Persian army, the mercenaries began the long trek home, some 1,500 miles. A few days into the march, the Greeks had new fears. Their supplies from the Persians were insufficient, and the route that Tissaphernes had chosen for them was problematic. Could they trust these Persians? They started to argue among themselves. The Greek commander Clearchus expressed his soldiers' concerns to Tissaphernes, who was sympathetic. Clearchus should bring his captains to a meeting at a neutral site. The Greeks would voice their grievances, and the two sides would come to an understanding. Clearchus agreed and appeared the next day with his officers at the appointed time and place, where, however, a large contingent of Persians surrounded and arrested them. They were beheaded that same day. One man managed to escape and warn the Greeks of the Persian treachery. That evening, the Greek camp was a desolate place. Some men considered flight, but with their leaders dead, they felt doomed. That night, Xenophon, who had stayed mostly on the sidelines during the expedition, had a dream. A lightning bolt from Zeus set fire to his father's house. He woke up in a sweat. It suddenly struck him. Death was staring the Greeks in the face, yet they lay around moaning, despairing, arguing. The problem was in their heads. Fighting for money, rather than for a purpose or cause, unable to distinguish between friend and foe, they had gotten lost. The barrier between them and home was not rivers or mountains or the Persian army, but their own muddled state of mind. Xenophon didn't want to die in this disgraceful way. He believed that if the Greeks concentrated on the enemies who wanted to kill them, they would become alert and creative. If they focused on the vile treachery of the Persians, they would grow angry, and their anger would motivate them. They had to stop being confused mercenaries and go back to being Greeks, the polar opposite of the faithless Persians. What they needed was clarity and direction. Xenophon decided to be Zeus's lightning bolt, waking the men up and illuminating their way. He called a meeting of all the surviving officers and stated his plan. "We will declare war without parley on the Persians. No more thoughts of bargaining or debate. We will waste no more time on argument or accusation among ourselves. Every ounce of our energy will be spent on the Persians. We will be as inventive and inspired as our ancestors at Marathon, who fought off a vastly larger Persian army. We will burn our wagons, live off the land, move fast. We will not for one second lay down our arms or forget the dangers around us. It is us or them, life or death, good or evil. Should any man try to confuse us with clever talk or with vague ideas of appeasement, we will declare him too stupid and cowardly to be on our side, and we will drive him away. Let the Persians make us merciless. We must be consumed with one idea: getting home alive." The officers knew that Xenophon was right. The next day, a Persian officer came to see them, offering to act as an ambassador between them and Artaxerxes. Following Xenophon's counsel, he was quickly and rudely driven away. It was now war and nothing else. Roused to action, the Greeks elected leaders, Xenophon among them, and began the march home. Forced to depend on their wits, they quickly learned to adapt to the terrain, to avoid battle, to move at night. They successfully eluded the Persians. It took several years, but almost all of them returned to Greece alive.